This is GamesAtWork.biz with your hosts, Michael Martin and Michael Rowe.
This is episode 9, Reality is Broken.
Welcome to GamesAtWork.biz. I'm Michael Rowe.
And I'm Michael Martin.
And we're here to play some games.
And be at work.
And
do some biz.
And do some biz. All right. So a couple of quick announcements at the beginning. By the time you hear this show, we should have a brand new website set up at gamesatwork.biz.
Hooray.
Yay. We've been going through a transition of splitting the streams because we don't want to cross the streams.
No.
That would be bad.
That's bad. We split
them. Dogs and cats living together are bad.
Yes. Dog-ear nations and games at work. Living together could be bad.
I don't know. Yeah. So we've got a new Facebook page.
Yes, we do.
At Games at Work Biz.
Now Facebook, I think, have spent most of their time worried about their IPO, so they haven't been able to update their search engine so you can find it when you type that in.
Isn't that cool?
That's pretty freaking cool.
Awesome. So we've got that. We've got the domain stuff that we're straightening out, which hopefully, again, by the time the show is posted, will be straightened out, and you'll see our new site. It's going to be early. We're working on the design. We want your feedback. There's a lot of feedback that is needed.
And we're not talking about the kind that goes, wee!
Yes, or the kind that goes, that's horrible. Or the kind that says, that's great. We want feedback, actually. You know, hey, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? One thing we are adding that was asked for a long time ago on our prior podcast, Dog-Ear Nation, was for forums to be introduced on the site. So we've got those in the works, also setting those up so we can actually extend the conversation with you, our listeners, over the course of episodes and beyond the episodes, and really kind of get your thoughts and comments and ideas on, you know, what are the games that you're playing?
Yeah.
What are the things that you might find interesting since we're no longer using social bookmarking as a way of identifying stories?
Yes. And we'll have all the normal channels, Twitter and so on and so forth, open to you as well, too. So that all remains.
Excellent.
So why don't we jump into this week's topic? Because
this is
really more of an introduction, perhaps, than a full exploration of this topic.
And this week's topic is Reality is Broken.
Yes.
So many of you who follow this podcast are probably fans of Jane McGonigal. I remember seeing her, I believe it was on either Colbert or The Daily Show, last year when she introduced her book, Reality is Broken, which is all about the use of games to change society.
Right.
And not just from a, oh gosh, if we all played solitaire 4 hours a day, we'd be much more calm.
Right. Right. And you had a chance, as you just said, to actually meet her, which is super awesome.
I can't remember if we mentioned this on the last episode, but yeah, I got a chance to talk to her briefly and see her in person at the IBM Impact Conference in Las Vegas back in early May. We were actually part of the world championship largest single finger thumb wrestling competition. We had an MMO of massively multiplayer thumb wrestling.
Really? Did you have a Guinness representative there too?
I don't know.
No.
But what we did, and it was kind of fun. There was, you know, probably about 3,000 or 4,000 people in the session.
Right.
And everybody linked hands, right and left.
Yes.
And so if there were like 3 people, you would link up there, and it linked the entire room together into one big crowd, right?
Yes, I'm listening.
And then we did a thumb wrestle.
So crowdsourced thumb wrestling MMO.
MMO thumb wrestling in the crowd, which was pretty awesome.
Very, very social.
And, you know, the if you trapped one thumb, you were like a champion. If you trapped both thumbs, you were like an Uber thing, right? So there was a rating scale.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Right? A leaderboard, perhaps?
Kind of a leaderboard, but yeah. You know, it was, you know, raise of hands, who did this, who did zero, who did one, who did two.
Must have been difficult to live tweet that.
There were some people that were like at the end of rows, right?
Yes.
Because, you know, you have like this octopus with all these tendrils expanding out.
Okay. Right? Like the image, yeah.
Yep. And at the end, there's nobody on the other end, so you have somebody tweeting there. So there were some live tweets that went on during it. It's pretty awesome. We had, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 people
thumb do wrestling.
Simultaneous thumb wrestling.
Cool.
And the joy, the surprise, the excitement that brought to this group of, let's face it, staid technology geeks at a conference talking about middleware was pretty fun.
That must have been great fun.
Yeah. So she talked about her book, some of the things that why do people play games and what do you get out of them and how can that change the world, and the behavior characteristics, et cetera. And then you're able to pick up a copy of the book and get it autographed. Mm-hmm. Got a couple of those, mm-hmm, which mm-hmm. was pretty nice. And so we decided that over the next couple of episodes, we'll do a little bit of a book analysis, a conversation about that book, and what are some of the interesting tidbits that came out of it, and then how can that apply to what you may be doing in your day job to better improve the fun, to drive some gaming ideas into what you do. For business results.
Yep.
And so the first thing I want to hit on is a quote right out of the book that is in chapter 3, and we'll back up from there, that I just thought was awesome. And do I have to do air quotes on this?
You don't have to.
I don't have to?
But if you really want to.
Could be fun.
Yeah.
You got that? So here's the quote. It's on... I'm reading this in an ebook format, even though I've got the printed book too. Right?
May as well.
Might as well, because I can highlight in this and not feel that I'm marking up a book.
Oh, you're one of those people. I didn't realize that.
Yes. The only books I mark up are school books.
Oh, that's too bad. So you don't know the joy of Levenger page points then, do you?
I don't like people writing in my books.
Page point is not a writing.
It's scribbling.
It's not a scribbling. It's
bibbling, scribbling, twibbling.
It's nothing of the sort. A Levenger page point, now that we're on this track.
Let's do it.
Is this little bit of metal that's like a tiny little bookmark.
I've got those.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got no problem with that.
Yeah. Those are great because in that way
you can look. But they're not marking up the book.
No, they're not. They're not.
Okay.
That's why I was saying that.
But in the ebook, I've marked it up. Ugh. So I've got some highlighting, see?
Oh, look at that.
It's all yellow.
Yeah. I'm going to take a picture of that. or maybe not.
I can post it into this week's episode blog.
You could, I guess.
Would that be fair use? A screenshot of that page?
Don't know. I'm not an attorney, and I do not play one on TV. So
here's the quote.
Read the quote.
So let's get to the quote.
Yes.
So here's the quote.
Okay.
A recent major survey
yes.
of high-level executives, including chief executive officers, chief financial officers, and presidents, mm-hmm. revealed that 70% of them regularly play casual computer games while working. Continuing the quote.
Yes.
That's right. The vast majority of senior executives report taking daily computer game breaks that last on average between 15 minutes and 1 hour. That's the end of the quote. And that just blows me away.
Yeah. I mean, there are tons of statistics that Jane and others do use about, you know, who are gamers, right? Because in many ways, people have still the notion of games are fun. Fun is not business. Ipso facto, don't do these sorts of things. I think the power of the quote really shows that when you have such senior leaders and the vast preponderance of senior leaders actually playing games
within the domain of the survey.
Yeah, within the domain of this particular survey, still it shows that there is a market, if you will, for the mind share of a game being sticky enough to do something with and to be a way to get attention and to get something accomplished.
You know, the thing that I read out of this is that the basic intrinsic needs of why we play games are not broken as you move up the executive management chain. And if it can be addictive or engaging, as you describe, at that level, should there not be a similar mechanism to drive that engagement around playful challenges across the corporation? And so kind of looking through the book in chapter one, right, just to hit that, you know, it really describes, you know, why do we play games?
Well, right.
What are some of the basic characteristics of why we play games? Why would you volunteer to get a challenge every day on something that has in and of itself no perceived value from people, right? You know, let's use a simple example, the game of solitaire.
Yep.
Right? If you play solitaire, three card flip, right?
Mm-hmm.
How often do you win that game?
When I play? Not often.
When right? most people play, statistically, not often,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, because it's not simple to win. And when you follow the rules,
mm-hmm.
you don't get the cards that you need when you need them, and eventually you stop.
And so the game eventually ends, and you have failed.
Right.
But you enjoy playing it.
Well, and part of it is because the outcome is uncertain. The reason why many people play games and why people climb mountains is because it's uncertain. If you had full guarantee you were going to make it to the top of the mountain, or that every game that you played you're going to win, it would be really easy to lose interest.
Yeah, and that's really kind of the second point of why people play games, and that is we created the experience, and there's at least a hope of being successful.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So if you knew that you were always successful, then the experience gets boring. Right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's why as kids we may play tic-tac-toe, but it doesn't last very long in your life because you eventually know the rules and you know you can always play to a stalemate.
Right.
There's no chance of winning that game if people understand the rule.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? So it loses its allure. Yes, it's a nice casual game when you haven't mastered it. But when you think of other games, and let's just pick another nice little casual game that you can ultimately win, Plants vs. Zombies.
Yes.
Right?
Okay. Yeah.
The basic start of the game, you don't really understand all the rules, you don't understand all the permutations. All you know is you put a plant down and a zombie walks across the lawn and you have to kill it.
Well, right? It's already dead. You have to stop it.
You have to unkill it. You have to de-kill it.
You dismember it, maybe.
You do dismember it. I mean, that's one of the nice things. Yeah. As the pea shooters hit the zombies in the head, their arms fall off.
Right.
And eventually their head pops off.
Yes.
So you learn the rules. There's a pretty good chance of success when you start, but it's not certain. You learn the mechanics and the rules and the experience over time of, you know, different plants and different zombies. And there is a level of challenge. Now, eventually that game becomes, you've done all the levels. So what they do is they add in more rules or change the rules or add in different levels that change the complexity. So you keep coming back.
Right. And so if we think about, you know, what we talked about with Chris Hazard recently, you know, this is the learning that goes on in the games.
Mm-hmm.
And as you are surprise. Learning and you're surprised, right? Oh, okay, this zombie does something different, or that plant, you know, has an effect, or it takes too long for this one to regenerate.
Like when the Yeti comes.
Yeah, right.
It's a surprise.
Yeah, so you learn how to continue to master it, and there are enough aspects that the game adds into it. Because the economics of such games are such that if you've created such a game, you want people to continue to play it. Because there are chances to level up and there are chances to buy more in-game elements, or at the very least, you'll find yourself wanting to play the next game that company creates, right?
But and so realistically, going back to the first rule of why do we play games, is we want satisfying work.
Yeah.
Right? And so if your job is to dig a ditch, right? and you never dig further than a 6-foot spot around you, that's probably not very satisfying. Unless you see a progress, right? And think about a progress meter in a game. It's like a little ditch going across the stream, and you see that progress. And it's satisfying to see that little bar go sliding across the stream based off of what you're doing. So a satisfying work, back to Plants vs. Zombies, the satisfying work is, you know, figuring out the puzzle, potentially. Or it could be protecting the owner in the house from zombies biting, eating their brains, right? Or, as they've added recently, what, a year ago? Year and a half, the Zen garden.
Yeah.
The satisfying work is to get all the different plants.
Yeah. You got to collect them all.
You got to collect them all. But it's something to, it's something that has a satisfying outcome based off of what you are doing. And what we see this in the work environment is if you understand your specific task or your specific project and how it fits into the larger implications of the organization. And you see that progression of, you know, let's say my job is to create presentations, right? And I make presentations every day. And all I do is make presentations, and I don't see that this presentation, if I make it a specific way, will convey the right message to senior management to change a offering in the market, right? If I don't see that, it may be pretty boring just to create presentations. If I see that progression or the results of my work, the satisfying result that now I have a new product in the market and one of the key decision points was driven by a presentation I made, you now see a connection between your activity and a result, something that is a satisfying work. And many employee surveys in companies are, do you understand how your job fits into the larger strategy or impacts our customers or whatever?
Yeah, it all boils down to making a difference.
It's
right. People want to know that their work made a difference to the overall goals of the organization. And a good way of describing that is the linkage between strategy and execution and the people who are executing that strategy are making a difference in alignment with it. Yeah. So you're exactly right.
And also the other thing is if what you do is so trivial that it's not challenging to you, even though it has a direct impact on the business, that is probably not as satisfying as something that gives you a challenge goal to actually have that experience with the hope of success, rule two, that has a direct impact, rule one, satisfying work.
Yeah.
The other interesting thing in the rules of chapter one is the social connection. Now, this one's kind of hard when you think about Plants vs. Zombies. It's a tower defense game. Tower defense, you tend to do those by yourself. However,
there are leaderboards.
There are leaderboards. There's connections into ways of doing bragging rights. You and I both played Plants vs. Zombies over the last couple of years. I don't know if you're still playing it. I'm not.
I'm kind of done with it. I've done most of the other things, and I've discovered the little surprise elements of, you know, oh, you can go all the way down to China.
Yes.
You know, so, So.
But when we were both actively playing it,
yeah,
it was kind of fun to drive that social discussion on, hey, I just found you could go all the way to China.
Yeah.
Right? Or, hey, I just discovered the Yeti. Uh-huh. Right? And so it's, when you think about social connections or community, it doesn't have to be, yes, there's an MMO with an online community and you have guilds. It's realizing that work that you are doing is part of a larger whole or a way of communicating with other people doing similar work. And that's why you have things like IEEE. It's a social community for various people doing like software development or other engineering practices who, you know, might be fine to just sit there at home or at the office and work on the next speed improvement of a chip. But being able to communicate that with a larger community of people who are also doing chip manufacturing and design through a social organization like IEEE is a way of expanding your reach, your value to yourself as well as the larger community. And hey, guess what? They have leaderboards. They're not called that, but...
Well, you know, one of the other things you bring to mind here is the way that the degree of difficulty is so relevant to meaningful work, right? So if you're focused on doing trivial tasks, you get bored. If you are focused on tasks that are in excess of your ability to execute them well, you become frustrated as well. So one of the things that some games do rather nicely, we were talking before the show about Diablo as well, Diablo 3, is that the mechanism in Diablo 3 allows a modulation, I guess, really is by the system as to degree of difficulty. So if you've got a high value character with, you know, better skills and weaponry, et cetera, and you walk into a game with lower level skills and characters, you don't want to be blowing everything away because that'll be boring for you. The lower level characters don't want to be blown away by super high degree monsters too, because that will make it horrible for them. So the system automatically compensates for what you bring to the table and presents the tasks and challenges in a way that makes the game fun, engaging, and meaningful, and tries to balance that right degree of challenge yet doability that draws you to the next step. And you know, I don't have the benefit of the book in front of me like you do, so I can't say word for word and chapter for chapter what's in there. But to me, the engaging element around work and why this is so important and what Jane's work is so important for work is how can an organization align strategy with execution and align degree of difficulty and engagement with ability in such a way that you're getting optimum results from all the players at once, all in place. Yeah,
and that's the, you know, that's the final rule, right? It's the meaning aspect, right? So you end up with the idea of satisfying work.
Yep.
That is challenging, but with the hope of success.
Mm-hmm.
That allows you to connect with a larger community. It drives to a meaningful result.
Right. And we're,
that's games.
And where success is not guaranteed, right? There's got to be some degree of possibility of failure.
Well, that's what I said the second thing, with a chance of success.
Right, right, right.
Right. Because success guaranteed is boring, and failure guaranteed is frustrating.
Disheartening, frustrating,
right?
You bet.
So there's something in between there. Now, and that's where, as you level up, right, whether that's leveling up through different roles and responsibilities in an organization,
yeah,
or leveling up your
mad
level
skills.
50 magic user, right?
Yeah.
You get better, and over time, assuming that you are presented with appropriate challenges that have a chance of success but are not guaranteed,
mm-hmm,
that are satisfying to the things that are intrinsically valuable to you, and that allow you to share and grow that within a larger community and have a meaningful result.
So if you're an HR practitioner, you're probably saying, gosh, that's exactly what human resources strives to do from a career and talent roadmap perspective, wouldn't you?
Nah.
Then again, you're not, and I'm not either. So, but you know. But you know, just, you know, just pull that up one level. That is the job, you know, for organization talent management.
It's the job of any manager.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A team leader, you know, a sub-team leader, you know, a supervisor. You name it. It's the job of the individual too.
A guild officer, perhaps.
Find something that is satisfying to do,
yeah,
that you enjoy, that is challenging, but doable. Figure out the community that helps you grow and have a meaningful end result. And I think that's a good introduction to Reality is Broken by Jane McGonigal. And thinking, you know, every couple episodes we'll take a deeper dive into another section of the book, and we want to hear your feedback.
I think that's a great place to end too. The one tag on I will put though is the with your thumb wrestling example at the beginning of the show.
Mm-hmm.
I was at another conference not that long ago where Ben Zander did something similar with an associated horde of IT professionals and the like, and he had us all sing the Ode to Joy together. and he's a famous conductor, and he had us sing all together. And again, another way of engaging us in a playful spirit.
There's a great video Bobby McFerrin teaching people to sing who have no skill on singing.
Yeah.
And to get that joy, that surprise, because at the end you listen to it.
It's good. It was good.
It's really good.
And he actually had dispersed through the audience the German words to the song phonetically.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I remember at the time, I was like, I can't do this because the phonetic German words were horrible. I couldn't do it so I had to go and pull it up on my phone to get the real German words. So I was like, okay, now I can sing this.
Well, singing years ago with one chorus in let me see, which one is it? The Gloria?
Yeah.
If you sing Excelsius, right, it sounds horrible singing. Yes. But if you sing Eggshells,
yes,
it actually sounds right.
Yes. Eggshells, yes.
Yes. Well, don't forget to follow us on Facebook at gamesatwork.biz, on our new website at gamesatwork.biz, on Twitter at gamesatwork_biz.
Yeah, good luck finding us.
Yeah.
No, we're out there.
And we want to hear your feedback. Rate us on iTunes. We should also by this time have a separate feed on iTunes. We want to hear your feedback.
And with that, we're out.
Bye.
Bye.
GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network, and you can follow us at Twitter at GamesAtWork_BIZ. We'd like to thank the guys at Zebes Systems for their rocking version of the Moon Patrol game theme.